People will travel a very long way to see an impressive waterfall, and people come from around the world to see Niagara Falls on the New York-Ontario border. That's a lot of water falling over a cliff with incredible force. Most of us can't imagine standing too close to it. Our next guest has a story of a guy who wanted to ride over Niagara in a kayak. Rush Sturgis grew up in Northern California's Scott Valley. Now he's a pro kayaker and filmmaker, and he's bringing his film Chasing Niagara back home for the Jefferson State Flicks Fest next week in Fort Jones. Rush, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It sounds like you were practically born with a kayak paddle in your hand. Tell us that story.
Well, I grew up on the Salmon River, Forks of Salmon, and my family runs a kayak school there called Otter Bar, so I grew up doing it from a pretty little age.
And so this is your life now? You actually do kayaking events as a pro?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, I'm a professional kayaker and filmmaker as well. So, I travel all around the world and do events and kind of also make movies and do various different projects and commercials and all types of different things to kind of make it work as a life.
Tell us about the kayaking events. Like, give us the last three maybe or something that you've been to. Just curious to know the places you've been and stuff you've done.
Yeah, well, I do a little bit of all types of kayaking events. I do freestyle, I do racing, kind of a little bit of everything. I've built my career, I guess, on being a little bit kind of versatile in the sense that I don't just specify in one thing. I kind of like to do a little bit of all of it. So, that's kind of what I do.
Were you something of a pioneer in going over really steep falls of water in a kayak?
Every generation kind of pioneers different things and does different things within the sport. So I guess I've maybe pushed certain areas, but, everybody that kind of came before me also pioneered in their own way. So for our generation or my generation, I have done a few things, I suppose.
Did the filmmaking come along with the kayaking? Was it something you learned from your parents as well?
Yeah, as a kid, I even before I wanted to, or knew I was going to be a kayaker, I was always interested in film, and I kind of started doing that at a pretty young age, just by shooting what we call video boating. So kind of following some of the people that would come to my folks' kayak school, I'd follow them down the river, film them for instructional purposes, and then also to try to sell the videos at the end of a class. So I kind of started doing that as like a summer job in my kind of early teen years, and everything else just kind of built up off of that.
Do you get some inspiration from some of the other great sports films out there, the Warren Miller skiing films and the surfing stuff and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as a kid, I did a lot of, I grew up, initially filming kind of skateboarding and snowboarding in Aetna, and in high school, was, part of the snowboard team over there to go to Mount Shasta and, do a lot of stuff in the local area. So that's kind of, sort of what I built on everything on as well as sort of the board sports.
So you got your own film company. River Roots is your baby, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's my company, yep.
Uh-huh. So tell us about it. What do you do?
We do a variety of projects. I mean, we're, I've done, 9 kayak movies over the years, but we've also been getting more into doing commercial work. So we go down to Mexico and we shoot stuff for Mexico Tourism. We've done stuff for Toyota, for GoPro, for Red Bull. We've got a variety of clients, and it's all pretty much action sports content. So, we're not just filming kayaking anymore. We're doing base jumping, climbing, mountain biking, surfing, pretty much everything. It's kind of has become more than just like a kayak production company. We're sort of trying to kind of branch out into other sports.
It sounds like some hairy and relatively dangerous situations that you're trying to portray effectively on film.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. That's if you're, when you're out there pushing it, that's when you're feeling the most alive, and so that's kind of what we that's what we're pursuing.
Rush Sturgis is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a pro kayaker and a filmmaker. Grew up in Northern California's Scott Valley. Is coming back with his film Chasing Niagara for the Jefferson State Flicks Fest starting Wednesday in Fort Jones. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So let's talk about Chasing Niagara. Rafa Ortiz is a guy from Mexico. Did you meet him on one of your forays down there?
Yeah, I met him down in Mexico back in 2007, and we've kind of just, been friends ever since.
And so, how long has he had this dream of wanting to take a kayak over Niagara Falls?
You know, it's something everybody's kind of always talked about in the sport a little bit, but I never really considered it as a possibility until I think I visited the falls in maybe like 2009 or 2010, and when I kind of first saw it, I realized that it actually was something that was probably possible, albeit a huge risk and undertaking. It was around that same time, I think, that Rafa went for a visit as well, and that's kind of when we started, sort of building up this sort of project and the idea that it was something we kind of we're going to try to work towards.
Well, so give us an idea of the scale. I mean, Niagara Falls is huge for one thing, but I mean, for yourself, for example, what's the largest or highest falls you've gone over in a kayak?
The tallest that I've done is 107 feet, and you know, Niagara's about 165. And then the tallest waterfalls that anybody has ran is about 190 feet. So, you know, Rafa and Tyler Brock have both run a taller waterfall than Niagara. So it starts to become a little bit less about the height as much as, although the height is a big factor, but it's also we look at the style of the waterfall. So, you know, the way that the lip is, the way the landing is, the hydraulics, like there's a lot more that goes into it than just the kind of sheer height, and that's sort of explained in the film as well.
So there are some situations where you go to a waterfall and say, nope, not going to do it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every day. Like, I think it's a misconception by the public that this is like some kind of reckless, crazy thing, when it's, in reality, it's a lot of research, a lot of time, and a lot of practice goes into running waterfalls, and, you know, none of us want to get injured or die out there, and it's we take seriously, and it's very calculated.
So Rafa Ortiz, who is the guy who wanted to do the trip over Niagara, he's got a great story starting out himself. His 14th birthday, his parents took him to a sporting goods store. Is that the way it worked out?
Yeah. And they got him a kayak, and he didn't really know anything about the sport. And I mean, he comes from a very different background than myself, whereas like I kind of grew up in an area where, you know, kayaking was around me from the day I was born. And so I was, you know, I was lucky enough to have mentors and people teaching me, and my dad is still into the sport, and you know, Rafa didn't know how to do it, and he just basically, him and his dad, like, taught themselves, you know. So it's pretty kind of a different way to get into it, but that's how some people start as well.
Has he ever had any training?
I'm sorry?
Has he had any training?
Yeah, he has at this point, for sure, because he's, you know,
he's still alive.
Yeah, he's still alive. You know, and we all kind of, I would say we all sort of, to some extent, there's a lot of camaraderie, but we coach each other and train each other and give each other tips, and I think that comes across kind of in the film as well. That's sort of a part of it, and yeah, at this point he's paddling on a high level.
So talk about the process then. It sounds like you and Rafa and a few other guys basically spent 3 years building up to considering the attempt at Niagara. Where did you go in to try to hone your skills to get ready for something like that?
Yeah, we trained primarily in Mexico because it really lends itself to big, tall waterfalls. You know, there's a lot of rivers down there with sort of similar geology to Niagara in terms of this kind of vertical type of drop. So it was, and plus Rafa grew up there, so it was just kind of the right training ground. But we also did a lot of stuff in the Northwest. I mean, you know, Northern California up through Oregon. I mean, the whole West Coast just offers a variety of big drops and rivers. And you know, that's where I live now. I live up in sort of southern Washington, northern Oregon area, and I live there for the rivers and the waterfalls and everything that it offers. So that's kind of ideal training ground as well.
Oh, that's right. You live on White Salmon on the Columbia, don't you?
Yep, yeah, right on the Columbia River, yep.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking again to Rush Sturgis here on the Jefferson Exchange, a pro kayaker and filmmaker and the creator of Chasing Niagara. We're talking about actually taking a kayak over Niagara Falls as the ultimate goal. You'll have to watch the film, I guess, to figure out whether it happens. It'll be at the Jefferson State Flicks Fest next week in Fort Jones. So, okay, a couple things. We did talk about the height of Niagara. It's like 165 feet, did you say?
Yeah, yep, right around there.
Okay, and it's illegal. We forgot to mention that so far.
It's super illegal, yeah.
Super illegal. What's the penalty if you take a kayak over Niagara?
Well, you get...
Aside
you get
from potentially dying, you know.
Right. You get a variety of different answers depending on which lawyer you talk to. But, you know, there's in the worst case scenario, if, say, Rafa were to die and you know, myself and our team was kind of helping him, you know, try to do this sort of project or whatever, we could be held liable because it's negligence, basically, that we kind of knew it was going to happen, but we let him do it anyway. In a more perfect scenario, he totally sticks it and everything goes perfect, and we get, you know, a slap on the wrist with some provincial parks fines, which would probably be, you know, still probably tens of thousands of dollars, but, you know, that would be like best case scenario. So no matter what, you're getting a ticket, you might get kicked out of Canada forever. No matter what, it was going to be a bit of a sting. But it could have been a slap on the wrist versus, some time in jail potentially for a long time. So it was
the Canadian falls you were looking at, not the American side.
Yeah, well, not the American, but then it's like if the American side got involved with the rescue operation, or, you know, who knows, there's somebody gets hurt in the rescue operation, there's like a variety of ways that it could play out. So, I mean, what we did basically is we just set it up so that we were taking care of ourselves, that we had our own boat at the bottom, we had our own rescue team, we had everything set up, which required us to kind of do a lot of stealthy type stuff, which we go through that in the film as well, too. But, it was not the ideal scenario, that's for sure.
So, you know, most people can't imagine taking a kayak down a waterfall. You said your highest is 107 feet so far?
It is, yeah, but we frequently run big waterfalls on a regular basis. I mean, when I go out for an afternoon paddle down the Little White, you know, every day I'm running a 30-foot drop and lots of 20-foot drops, and just kind of, you know, our everyday training consists of, you know, paddling almost 1,000 feet of vertical every day.
Can you be scared anymore? I mean, do you get to that point ever?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm scared all the time. I get scared every day. I mean, yeah, if you're not scared, you're an idiot. But, we all get scared. It's like, nobody is fearless, but you learn to manage the fear. I think that's the difference. But, you know, I always say, like, from the first time I ran, you know, a kind of a harder rapid when I was 11 years old, which is, Indian Crossing on the South Fork of the Salmon, like the same feeling I got then, which was like the nervousness and the fear factor, is like the same feeling I get today when I go and I run, you know, a 90 footer and it has serious, like way more serious consequences than that. But the fear is always relative compared to where you're at. And so I think it's part of the addiction and part of maybe the, the draw to it is that you're just continually trying to kind of up that that feeling that you get from accomplishing running something that's pushing them yourself.
So what kind of process goes into scouting out falls and deciding if the, you know, the tilt and the elevation and the hydraulics are essentially in your favor, or at least they're not going to kill you? I mean, how much work does it take before you, I mean, how much time are you going to spend looking at a set of falls before you even think about taking a kayak over?
It totally varies. You know, there's lots of different waterfalls, and depending on the river, you know, like sometimes you're running a river which has, you know, hundreds of waterfalls on it, and you're getting out to scout, you know, lots of times and looking at it for sometimes a minute or two, or sometimes an hour or two, sometimes years. You know, it really depends. I've got these waterfalls out there that I look at for a long time, and sometimes it takes lots of trips down a river before I finally decide to, you know, to fire it up. So I think a lot of it comes with experience too, you know, like a lot of the times when I walk up to a rapid these days or a waterfall, I can kind of immediately know whether or not it's something I want to do. But then sometimes you show up and you're like, oh, it looks terrible. And then you see someone run it and you're like, actually it's not so bad. I'll give it a go.
Follow the leader. I'll go where they went.
Yeah. It's a lemming style thing for sure.
assuming, I mean, even if the hydraulics are with you, and so forth, I mean, the fact is that the sudden stop at the bottom is bound to really send a bit of a shock, like a punch in the stomach when you arrive.
Oh yeah. Yep. I mean, I've had my share of injuries and I've broken my back, I've broken my nose like many times, lots of concussions. Definitely taking some impact for sure, but it's interesting too because a lot of the time when you do it right and when you nail it, it can be relatively soft even from really big heights because you're falling into aeration, you know. So when you go straight down with the water right into the aeration, you just hit the boil and everything works out perfectly. It can be really soft and really, it's a really awesome feeling just going deep down underwater and then resurfacing up. That's what we're going for. And then other times you just get totally rocked and slapped and it doesn't really work out too well.
Okay. Not like I want to blow the ending of the film or anything, but just a simple yes or no question. Are all the people who started the project still alive?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So we actually did have one friend who's in the project. passed away in an avalanche, but
I'm sorry from
kayaking, unfortunately. But yeah,
well, there's a scene in the trailer. Anybody can see the trailer online for Chasing Niagara, where it looks like you're doing CPR on one of your buddies after going down a very steep waterfall. You guys, yeah. Are you guys all trained in first aid, CPR, the works?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, we are. But yeah, no matter you know, how many times you've done a CPR class, which I'll go and get renewed every few years, it doesn't really necessarily prepare you for the real thing, but it is helpful to have that and to be current with it for sure.
All right, so at Niagara Falls, and I'm not recommending anybody try this themselves, but is the issue how much water potentially can fall on top of you once you go down from that height?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of volume there is definitely a factor. It's like 100,000 CFS, so that's a lot of water. And it's all kind of spread out into this horseshoe, you know, so it has the potential to keep you sort of trapped behind it in a cave, basically. So that's a factor. It's also, it's kind of, it's eroding as well a lot. So it's kind of moving backwards. Like, I think there's a stat that it's moving back like a foot, like every year, which is a lot. You know, like where it was like 100 years ago, it was like 100 feet further downstream or something. So it's changing there a lot. So yeah, that's something we look at with waterfalls for sure, is how much erosion is around it. And you know, typically waterfalls, like in California, for example, when you've got these like, you know, amazing granite sort of carved out rivers where it's had a ton of time to just carve out these deep, deep pools. I mean, a waterfall is typically the deepest part of a river. So it's we don't worry about the depth too often. Sometimes you do, but in Niagara, it's way more of a gamble. You don't know exactly how deep it's going to be, and I would say that's the biggest factor, is the depth, is just knowing. There's no way of knowing for sure how deep it is, so total gamble.
All right, just a couple seconds left. How fun to bring your film back home to Fort Jones. You there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yep. Yeah. It's great. I'm so super excited to show it to the local community and see all the friends out.
Okay. It's a Jefferson State Flicks Fest next week at Fort Jones in the Scott Valley. Events start on Wednesday. Chasing Niagara is the film by Rush Sturgis, about actually taking a kayak, or thinking about it anyway, over Niagara Falls. Rush, thanks so much for joining us today in the exchange.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.